simply Jesus, his life, his kingdom. It is that, is the vision, to be honest. Ian told us this at the Vision Day last year, once we've been through everything, and at the end of the day, and said, it's about Jesus. And so we've been following in these reflections to Easter, Jesus approaching to Jerusalem. He's now 2 miles away. Bethany is just a short walk into Jerusalem. And he must have been a great relief to come to the home of his friends as he starts to realise what's going to happen, what's going to unfold in Jerusalem for him. So he comes to the house of Lazarus, Mary and Martha, and he's greeted there in the traditional normal way of washing of feet. But Mary takes this a stage further, and it's a prelude of what will happen later in the week when Jesus washes the disciples' feet. Mary takes this into an act of extravagant love. And it's the same story again. Heather gave us a wonderful reflection on Mary and Martha a few weeks ago. And you'll notice if you look at the reading, nothing has changed. It's still Martha doing all the work and Mary at the feet of Jesus. So the message hasn't quite got home to Martha, maybe. But there's something very much that Mary clearly loves Jesus. She absolutely is devoted to him. And so Mary does this action here of washing Jesus' feet. And the perfume is a massive amount of perfume, something like a pint, which we normally dab on, don't you? Is that sort of thing with perfume. And it's a pint. It's very costly. It comes from India, apparently. It's very pure. And to say it's expensive is just an understatement. It costs a year's wages to buy this perfume. And Mary, in her devoted love for Jesus, just pours it over him, over his feet. And it's an extravagance of love there that... Could you try and capture something of that feeling, of what that might feel like, to so love this person, Jesus, that you do that? You pour out that perfume that costs so much money onto him because you know this is a precious moment, a precious time. And then there's the utilitarian, Judas, there standing, or is he a thief? There's a conflict in some of the gospel writing about him. But he says, this money could have been... total waste of money. It could have been sold and given to the poor. And there's that utilitarian type meanness of spirit. It is a meanness of spirit. And so give it to the poor, but don't have this extravagant act here as well. And of course, Jesus is saying, you can have both. It's not that you're going to always... He says you're always going to have the poor with you. Not say ignore them. You can do both, actually. You can have extravagant love for Jesus and give this wonderful gift to him of this expensive perfume, and actually you'll be freed to truly give to the poor then. You'll have to be true, and when you have extravagant love for him, the love pours over to others. Paul wrote, didn't he, in 1 Corinthians 13, if I give all I have to the poor and have not love, I gain nothing. And so our giving away comes out of that generosity of love for Christ. And I haven't heard, but I think one or two people might have said, what a waste of money spending on the church, these lights and this decoration. Absolutely not the case. It's an expression of our love for God that this place is renovated and alive. And actually, there's plenty of money for both, for the here and for Papua and for the needs around us. It turns out, if you have an extravagant love for Christ, it turns out into love for other people and other situations too. And this is, so can you feel that? Could you feel something of that extravagant love for Jesus? Could you? Because I think that is crucial. If we have it, if we've got it, the church is fine. If we haven't, it's going to struggle into the future. And it's a gloriously sensuous scene, isn't it? A gloriously sensuous scene. There's all this perfume being poured out, wafted through the whole room. And Mary, which would have been quite outrageous for her time, lets her hair down and uses her hair to wipe Jesus' feet. Was there something going on for Mary? Well, it's been speculated about, hasn't it? And quite possibly there was. Was Jesus tempted? Quite possibly he was. And yet this again comes back to the humanity of Jesus. He knows us and our weaknesses. He knows our experiences. And he sets his face still to going to Jerusalem. And because that clearly is what the passage is about, as well as this act of extravagant love, anticipation of Jesus' death, his anointing for his death. And the kingdom to come, in Matthew and Mark's gospel, it says that Mary anointed, put some of the perfume on Jesus' head as an anointing as king, to anoint him to know that he is coming into his kingdom. And so a glorious passage about devoted love, extravagant love, Jesus moving towards Jerusalem, where he will come to his death. And now the crowds are picking up. They're starting to gather. You read in the passage there at the end, the people from the village all come round, see Jesus with Mary and Martha and Lazarus there. And they want to see Lazarus because he's got risen from the dead by Jesus. And perhaps Jesus will do yet another miracle. Perhaps he will do that. Earlier on in John's Gospel, Jesus would be suspicious of them, we know, because it says he doesn't trust people who just come to him for miracles. In John chapter 2, verses 23 to 24, Jesus did not entrust himself to them. And it would have been the same, I would guess, with these people who just came for the miracles. If you're coming to Christian faith just for what we might get out of it, just for the blessings on our life or whatever, it's not going to happen. It's not going to work. Christ Jesus cannot respond to you in the love that he has for you. What it needs is the extravagant love of Mary to be devoted to him, and then you'll receive back from him in relationship with him. So in our annual review, thank you very much again for all that everybody does and gives. But thank you above all to our God, our Saviour, who does know us in our weakness. That's the verse we saw last week in Mothering Sunday there, that we don't have a priest, Jesus, who's out of touch with our reality. He's been through a weakness and testing, experienced it all but the sin. We can go to him for grace and know his strength, and changing into his likeness, and that will be the health of our church now and in the years to come. Amen.